in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain.
Welcome to the Watchman Chronicles Bible Study, and here we go. And family, welcome. Tonight, I hope to kind of do a little something different. Not real different, but you'll kind of see what we're going to do. But it's not a whole lot different, but I got a little something else to spice it up a tad bit tonight. For all those newcomers, welcome. If we have any newcomers, you are invited to go to WatchmanChronicles.com. WatchmanChronicles.com, and click on the chat and come on in, visit. You can ask questions, make comments, whatever you'd like on the chat located there on the WatchmanChronicles.com. I also have Bible studies that I've done in the past now. I keep them updated that you can visit and download them, take them, do them, whatever you want to with them. And I'd really like you to pass them around. But my Bible studies are based on the theology of the 1970s and 60s and 70s and 80s, minus all the new emerging church interferences. And it is significant, very significant indeed. And unfortunately, it's not by accident. It is by design. It is by design that the theology today, literally, is corrupted on a massive, massive scale. This is hard to tell people about this because it's hard for people to believe that almost every one of your TV evangelists, almost all of them. All of them, certainly 700 Club and TBN. There's no question about that. They're Freemasons, literally. TBN, every single one of them is a Freemason. I mean all of them. They will not be members of the TBN unless they're a Mason. It's not going to happen. Joyce Myers, he's an Eastern Star. They're, all of them. It's by design. This is huge. When it talks about the falling away, wolves and sheep's clothes. That's exactly what they're talking about. It's what the Bible's talking about. And it's true. Every bit of it's true. And when you sit and look at the crowds in the new emerging church and TV, Osteen's and all these, you see 20,000 people, 10,000 people sitting there. You wonder, you know, what can you do to fix it, to warn people about this? The deception in this Luciferian-ran world, and it is. This is evidentiary. It's proven by evidence entirely. And you see it on such a massive scale. It's just mind-boggling. But here's the problem. The problem is when you start to warn people and tell them about it, they don't want to know. People don't want to know, so they run. They leave. And I'll tell you, this is significant. It's significant because I go to a bookstore, for example. It's a bookstore, coffee shop, so forth. So I go there on occasion. Well, quite a bit of occasions. And there has been now a regular group of people that go there. And one of them is a third degree Mason that we used to talk. But when I make my position known, didn't mean to run the boy off, but every time myself and one other person get together, I mean, this is very almost daily. As soon as I walk in or the other person walks in, the Mason goes. He leaves immediately. I mean, this is significant. I'm like, what? You know, because he hears it because it's a small area that you sit and drink coffee and talk and so forth and so on. but but when you're talking, we start talking about God, or we're talking about the Illuminati and so forth. Well, now he knows we're going to talk about that, and he leaves. I mean, virtually immediately, within 30 seconds, he's packing up and leaving. I'm like, wow, that's significant. And it's not by accident ever anymore. I discovered, I found out, somebody told me. It's because he don't like to hear the words. You don't like to hear about the Illuminati or talk about God. Now, this is significant. It's very significant. You see? I mean, I could go into a place and they could be atheists there talking about no God and all this. That's not my business. That's dinner at another table. So? They could talk about Buddha all they want. So? You know, don't bother me at all. Just as long as they don't say my mother wears combat boots, they can talk about whatever they want to. She don't wear combat boots. You see, but I can only attribute it to the Holy Spirit. I don't know other way. I mean, this is massive. Within 30, I mean, I can do a stopwatch. I see it every time now. Every time I go in, or another friend comes in that we talk about this, somebody else comes in, and we'll start talking about it, just like normal. He's up and gone out the door. And within 30 seconds, in a display of putting things up, putting it together, where are you going? I got to go. I got to leave. Out the door he goes. This is not a small thing. This is significant. You see, so that really got my attention. It doesn't manipulate me in any way. I mean, I'm just going to talk about stuff anyway, but I find that very, very interesting. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Great Commission, finish up on it. And when I do, I'm going to talk about, we get into it probably in the last hour. I'm not sure, it depends. We're going to get into approved unto God. Who's going to take the gospel? What to do? Preparing to serve God. Obeying God's word and how we grow. Memorizing scripture. And how to tricks that you can pull, you can learn to how to memorize scripture and so forth. And we'll talk about your quiet time. And your quiet time is going to be interrupted. Your quiet time is going to be interrupted now more than ever by a satanic agenda. And it's coming from people you don't even, they don't even know that they're going to interrupt your quiet time. It is supernatural. And you're going to talk about how to establish a quiet time. And you got to do it. You can't make excuses. You can make them. And I have family members that I say, well, we'll study Bible. Well, I can listen only a little bit, but I got to wash my clothes. I got to go feed the animals, and then I got to run around a little bit. They don't realize they're being jerked around. They're being pulled, prodded, poked, supernaturally. They don't realize it. They don't realize it. And, you know, all you can do is pray. And even ourselves, myself, sometimes you find excuses. Maybe you say, well, I'll read it when I get back from whatever. And you got to catch yourself. Establish that quiet time. Now, I'm not getting into it right this second, but I am here shortly. Because I got everything here I can virtually do over and over and again if I have to. Because everything's documented. I've got in these Bible studies. It's all documented. Now, before I start, I want to let you all know a little something on a quasi-political field here. I discovered today. I'm going to talk about this in detail Monday, 3 to 5, but I'm finding out this fake end times event of Syria and all this other stuff. I don't know how far they're going to go with it. You know, the Pope's getting involved, and he's brought together 100,000 people to pray and fast for peace in the Middle East. And had someone tell me today, I walked up to, I was going to do some shopping, and there was a animal care group in this parking lot that were finding owners for these animals that were scheduled to be euthanized, and they were really successful at it. One guy was there, and we were talking off the cuff about stuff, and he said, you know, well, we'll probably be in a war by next week. I said, why? He looked at me, what? Syria. I said, oh, okay. And I sort of explained to him the situation. Everybody thinks we're going to war. Well, it's not time for World War III. It's not going to happen. Any war they have and build as World War III will not be the real World War III. Will they have some fighting? It's possible. Will they take down a whole ship? It's possible, too, whatever. But it will not be World War III. They're trying to fake it. But here's the point. You got McCain, and you got McCain saying Obama impeachment and all that. And they got Kerry doing this and doing that, and McCain doing the other. Well, here's the final point I want to make. Hey, did you all know? I got slam dunk evidence. McCain, Kerry, Bush, Obama, Cheney, Colin Powell. You know they're all cousins in the same Merovingian bloodline? This is all a play out of a Luciferian order. This is how Lucifer controlled it. I got the evidence on it. There's no question. So they're all playing a script on the TV. So here's the point. People really believe this. Hillary Clinton is in the bloodline. She's a family member too. McCain's a family member to George Bush's wife, Laura Bush. They're family members. I mean, this is huge. This is major. It's all played out on a TV. This is Luciferian. This is a script that's keeping a billion people plus, a billion plus, thinking we're going to World War III, but it's all scripted. It's like a reality show. And yet they play it out in G20. They play like they're against each other, and all this, they'll work together on a Luciferian level. It's all scripted. When you step back and you're like, well, what planet am I on? You know? That everybody else is just like mesmerized, scared to death that there's World War III coming, all this. And you're like, wait, it's like a reality show. What do you mean? I said, well, it's scripted, man. They know exactly what they're doing. They're playing it out like they're actors on TV. They already know what they're going to say and do. But making it public in Europe and America and Middle East, wherever, think it's really a war coming. It's really a spontaneous war. Now, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to stop there because this is Bible study. But this is how Lucifer, through the tribe of Dan and his bloodline from the Merovingian bloodline, the Roman bloodline, intermingling the seed of fallen angels with the tribe of Dan, goes all the way back to Jacob. That's what's going on today. In the Syrian conflict and all this is all connected together in the Luciferian agenda. I mean, that's huge. You feel like you're the only one that knows the secret. It's not a secret, but nobody wants to know. It's frustrating as a dickens. You know, people ask you, well, Tom, you know, you don't speak too much about Syria. Do you think we're going to war? I'm like, what do you tell them? What, it's all scripted. They have a play. They're going about. They already know what they're going to do. I mean, why even answer the question? It depends what the playwright's got written out there. You say, oh, you know, well, find the script and you'll get it, you know. You know. People probably die, but they don't care. You see, I mean, it's a Luciferian. Lucifer, Satan, is in control of this world as allowed by God because sin brought this world under judgment from Adam and Eve. That's what's going on today. Now, Monday, I'm going to talk about some DNA characteristics and how they really, they're really putting it together. I'm going to give you all some quantum physics on Monday. I hope, and how the DNA is figured in on this. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. Big time. Well, family, you know, I don't, right now, people just sitting cool and chilled, and they'll start going to churches, and when the thing really gets picking up, and they're going to be lied to. Your Hagees and all these others will be spouting off Begley's and will spouting off the World War III. We're in Armageddon. Armageddon got delayed. The Pope brought peace. Family, it's coming. It's going to be a lie. It's all scripted. Fake Antichrist, fake false prophet. It's all fake. It's going to fool the entire world. To think in the Pope and Obama and Prince William, I don't know, $10 to Elmer Fudd, whoever comes out of the woodwork, is going to be the Antichrist, the false prophet. He's going to bring peace. It's going to be a fake peace. Somewhere they're going to pull something. I don't know where it's going to be, but all I know, all I care about, the only truth you're going to get is in the King James Bible. And when Jesus Christ, after 7 years of tribulation, that's, you know, the Bible says so. Then I know the real deal. Other than that, whatever they pull off, whatever, go ahead, man, go at it. Because I know 3.5 years is all they got. And then comes the wrath of God on this earth. That's guaranteed promise to happen. In the meantime, they can fiddle around with Syria and with World War III. I don't know, whatever they pull up. It doesn't make any difference. All we got to do is what? The Great Commission. That's what we're here for. Is the Great Commission. This is what God wants. Is the Great Commission to be carried through. You think he stopped when the disciples died and that's it? No. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. Well, fast forward to the disciples and the Great Commission to spread the gospel is here again. And they're trying to stop it using preachers, using evangelists, using popes, priests, rabbis, bishops, whatever. They're all in the same ball of wax. Sorry, but they are. Freemasons are in the middle of it. And 90% of the Freemasons do not understand. They don't even know about this. I've talked to several today. One Eastern Star didn't know. Rainbow Girl didn't know. I explained to him. I showed him. And I got my hands on the procedures they go through in the ceremonies in Eastern Star. It's amazing what they do. And they don't realize it. They don't know. That's why they keep it in the family. Freemason high level marries Eastern Star. If she's not an Eastern Star, she will be. The male child will become Desmoulins, and the female will be a Rainbow Girl. Then you got the Boy Scouts and Girls. It's all connected. Every single bit of it is connected. The Great Commission. You're practicing right now, the Great Commission. You're getting a rehearsal, practicing, preparing yourselves for what's to come. You see, that's what's happening. And those that attend the Bible study, have your own studies, whatever, that God's pulling on you. You know, and we're all going to get pulled on. All of us. All of us will. And they're trying to escalate or accelerate, fool us on the plans in Syria. I'll talk about that next week, too, in times events, and how Syria plays a part of it, but how they're trying to fake it out. But in any case, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Wow, we're already 21 minutes. Dedicate the broadcast, and we'll get into it. Lord, we come to you tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we confess our sins to you. Lord, we, our innermost thoughts and the sins we've committed today and in the past. Lord, it's hard. It's difficult. And sometimes we're led astray, but we confess those sins to you, Lord, as you keep us straight and convict us of them. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, our only begotten Son, that we, through him, we'd be saved. We thank you, Father, for the King James Bible, your holy word. And Lord, we call upon you tonight to come down upon us and your Holy Spirit in this church, that Lord, you give us wisdom, discernment, and that, Father, that somehow this word, the messages will be carried out. And Father, to guide us tonight that we can share in the gospel and learn about the Great Commission. And Father, give me the words that I can spread that gospel, Lord, because I need those words. I need them from the heart through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I need that help. We pray for those, Lord, in our past that need healing. We pray for them. Lift them up to you, Father. Gary, recently, Lord, that he's having a hard time, but, Lord, that you'll use him mightily. that no matter what your will be done, Lord, that you'll use him while he's alive, that get him through this chemo or get him, or Father, bring divine appointments his way that he could witness the love of God and witness to others. And Father, all the others we've lifted up to you, Father, those that have generational curses, Father, those that I've been talking to lately, Lord, that I know that the generational curses is now starting to come up, that they're finding out that a lot of their background, Lord, in Freemasonry. And Lord, to help us with this generational curse, to be able to spread that truth about how to deal with them. And Father, that those that have Masons in the family and those Masons in the family, that they renounce the blood oath. They go back to their families. That the blood oath separates families, Lord. And to expose the Freemasonry, expose the Knights of Malta, expose the secret societies for what they are, so that the members will see it, and Father, they'll pull away. And to give courage to those preachers, rabbis, and priests that are steering themselves, their flocks away from the truth, and those that's using the false Bibles that they have today, except the King James, Lord, that you bring the truth to these churches, these cathedrals, and these synagogues. That, Lord, we know that time's coming. The shaking's coming. And, Lord, give us the strength, the courage to stand up and speak out the truth. And give it, when we don't have a Bible with us, Father, or we have tribulations and trials, you give us the words to speak. And, Father, to help us bring our families back in the fold. And, Father, we pray for returning servicemen. And, Father, that your Holy Spirit power will override those microchips they have in their pills and override the antidepressants and the post-traumatic stress, Lord, that's been exacerbated. That Father, that you'll take away the effects of these post-traumatic stress, that it's been exacerbated beyond what it should be, Lord, that what it is, it's even more than ever. That, Lord, we need your Spirit power to bring divine appointments to them that have this problem, Lord, and these voices in their head they have, or technology, that you take it away, Lord, and replace it with your love and your Holy Spirit. We pray for those that's being targeted for sacrifice in these coming up rituals this month. And, Father, you find a way that these abductions will be thwarted, be stopped. And bring awareness to this country, Lord, of the truth. And to strip down the protection of the Wicca and the government, the Wicca and the military, and the Wicca and the industrial realm. That, Father, you expose them for who and what they are. And out of those, you bind the Holy Spirit to them that are open and seeking truth. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family had a great commission. It's very important. They had a great commission of sort back in the days of Jacob. It wasn't called the Great Commission, but it was the same thing. It was exactly the same thing, actually. Now that you think about it, now that I think about it, is that he told the 12 tribes, now go out, spread the truth, spread the gospel. They failed. They're still in a blood covenant with Abraham. But they lost that assignment and went to the Gentiles. Time of the Gentiles. God waited around. Here come English. God knew what he was doing. and a universal language formed, called English. Put it into a Bible called the King James. And that is the only source of God's holy and true word. There is no other. And the only name is God, Jehovah. That's it. There's no Yahweh. That's impossible. And people are being lied to about this. Not a mistake. It's a lie. Because Yahweh, Yeshua, is Sananda, Emmanuel. And this is now proven out by their own words and claims. Sananda Emmanuel, a fallen angel, is now claiming in channelings and so forth to be Yeshua. Yeshua, as I've said many times to a lot of folks. And they're going back to sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement, because family, this is the disinherited tribe of Dan that's infiltrated into the monarchy, going all the way back to the time they were disinherited, sent to, they migrated to Greece and then on to Europe to make up the royal blue bloodline families of today, intermingled with the seed of Satan and the fallen angels, literally, DNA mixed together. DNA, copper-based DNA versus carbon-based DNA of humans. It's very significant. Copper plays a big part of it in DNA. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stop with that part of it. But family, this is serious. The tribe of Dan made a pact with the devil and the fallen angels to be given world dominion. And the Antichrist will come out of the tribe of Dan. And that lies the Yahweh. Going back to the day they were members of the 12 tribes. That's why they want the old ways back again. Back to the Hebrew roots movement. Christian identity. It's all based on the tribe of Dan wanting to take world control. But the problem is, for them, they don't know this yet, that in the second seal, God will allow their total destruction. And it leads into the abomination of desolation in the mid-tribulation. God will allow their total destruction. The real Hebrew Israelites will then come out of the woodwork in mid-tribulation. 144,000. Now you see, they're hidden. Can't find them. And they're certainly not in America. Maybe individually, who knows? But the Middle East, they've got them put away. America, the folks here in America and Europe are not a lost Hebrew tribe, except maybe the leadership, and that's the tribe of Dan. Yeah, that's one of the lost tribes, and one of the lost and disinherited tribe like Ephraim. That's it. They were replaced. And they're trying to regain it back by force, and deceit, murder, mayhem, and whatever else they can do. They will fail. God's in control. Satan is not. In Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked, and that's what's going to happen. So 3/4 of Israel's population will be decimated. And God will allow it because it's made up by mostly the tribe of Dan. In control. Star of David is one of the most occultic evil signs that there is. It's not of David whatsoever. This is all provable. Even in the Bible, it talks about the star. It's even in the Bible. It warns us about those who claim to be Jews but are not Jews. That's what it's talking about. Tribe of Dan. The synagogue of Satan. Because they made a deal with the devil. The other 12 tribes will have 12,000 real Hebrew Israelites, bloodline. It's going to come out of the woodwork, and boy, they're going to get it on. Mid-tribulation. But in the meantime, got a lot of work to do. It's called the Great Commission. And then it ends with the disciples. It starts, continues on today. Scripture reading tonight, primarily, is Romans 10, 15. When you go to Romans 10, is what we got here. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel, not all, for Esaias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? In Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the key verse tonight is Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's pretty clear. I must add to this, not to the scripture, no, but add to it that a group called Calvinists, which is massive, growing cult group, preach against, talk against, vehemently about the Great Commission. And when you try to tell them, and I mean this is significant, that we're not supposed to go out and bring people to God, that they have predestination. You're not supposed to go out there and bring people to Jesus Christ. You say, well, you better read Mark 16:15, then they start getting all mad at you. I mean, they take this really serious. I know this for a fact. I've had several run-ins. Lost several friends, which is fine with me, but the point is they take it really serious. Now, we talked about in the last few lessons this past week or two that we learned the church is the body of Christ, and then Jesus Christ himself is the head of the church. All believers are members of his body. We've discussed that in the previous lessons, and you can pick up on that by going back to the archives. And the archives is free and all that. You know, there's no big deal. And do spread it around. You see. But I preach knowledge and things that this information is all comes out of scripture, and I've got it all written down. You see, I mean, this is, I'm not just pulling it out of a hat. And certainly if you disagree, please come in the chat and say, well, I disagree, you know, and then say, oh, okay, well, why? And you write down the scripture or the information, we'll take it and we'll go over it. It's not a problem. But I'm going to tell you right now, though, majority, not minority, majority of preachers, evangelists, in the biggest of these cathedrals and churches, from Osteen, Copeland, Graham, all of them, are not teaching the truth. They used to at one time, and that was to pull people in. And now you notice they're moving away from it. They're moving away. And that's not good. I can probably, let's see here. I might be able to give you, well, no, I'm not prepared for that. To give you an example where Billy Graham even says, didn't used to say this, but now he says that you don't have to know the name of Jesus. That's what he says. You don't have to know the name of Jesus. And that's a problem. He's changed. You know, I got it. You can hear his, I got it, you know, I got it recorded. Anybody wants to hear it, I can play it. If I have enough people ask, I don't just play it now, but I can play it now if some people ask about it. I got it right here. And I've got the material, the equipment to play it. And you can listen to him yourselves. Where Billy Graham denies Jesus. And he does. You don't have to know the name of Jesus. Just know that you need to be saved. That's all you need. Well, no. You have to know the name of Jesus, not Yeshua, not Yahweh, not Joshua. You see, this is not right. And this is by design. It's how they do it. And he's a 33rd degree Mason family. You establish your own relationship with Jesus Christ and not with any other man to get you there. But you or woman, like Joyce Myers, she's the Eastern Star. You get away from humans and go straight to Jesus. You do it individually because he's looking for you anyway. You see, for you to confess your sins to him, nobody else has to be there. You know, if you got a prayerful group, using the right Bibles because it's important. The other Bibles are missing verses by design. You see, the Great Commission. In the midst of Satan's evil world system, and I've discussed this, and this is not very palatable to some people. Sometimes they can't handle this, what I'm talking about. I don't hold anything back. Nothing. And everything I'm telling you, I got evidence for. And nothing, if anything contradicts the Bible, then I know what I've got's wrong. The Bible rules. We don't rule the Bible. It tells us. But do your own research. But family, we're in a Satan's evil world system. And Satan has a body through which he works through and manifests his mighty power. But only is allowed by God. If he goes further, he is stopped. But God gives him a lot of power. He gives him a lot of control. Because we pull away from God, he says, well, okay. So God says, well, you know, all right, I'll pull away. And that's what he does. Until we call him back again. We say, Lord, help me. Well, he's there. The prodigal son. But when a country starts passing rules and laws and so forth against God, that country is going to be judged and judged harshly. But the thing is, they know that. So they can convince the public to support your gay marriage. The country to support legalizing marijuana. There's a real thing about marijuana, for example. The drugs reduces your control over your spirit. Oh, I know it's got municipal properties and all this, that, and the other. But the reality of it is, it does reduce your control of your faculties. That's why they want you to smoke it. Same thing for every different drug literally brings in a different demon. I mean, I'm sorry, but it does. You may not like hearing that, but it does. LSD, the bath salts, bring in different demons. They have certain reactions. It is demonic. This is a fact. Psychologists are worthless. And matter of fact, they have Carl Jung was an avatar. He was channeled. Freud, the whole line of them, to cast upon the dementia, all these psychological conditions on the individual. It's your fault, they say. Well, in a way it is, but it's also exacerbated by demonic possession. This is true. It's through the church that Christ expresses his life and does his work in the world. Christ has a body through which he can do the work and manifest his mighty power. Christ does. Over Satan's world power. As allowed by God, you see. But Satan has to go before God and accuse. Fallen angels go before God and accuse. And God says, no, Or you say, well, yeah. And this is what's going on in the supernatural realm. But God is king, and he won't allow Satan more reign than what Satan wants. He ain't going to get. But he is allowed a certain latitude. So what's the mission of the church overall? Well, this mission of the church is to proclaim the gospel to every person in the world. Not religion. Not religion. Not four walls behind a building. A church is where two or more are gathered. It could be under a tree, whatever. But every believer has a part in all this. And the Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's been about 2,000 plus years since Jesus Christ gave this command to his disciples then. But today there's still millions of people who's not saved. These preachers have fallen behind. I've got 33 ways that they actually employ. Methods. They're taught to dissuade and to cause the Christian from living the Christian life. They are trained in this. I got 33 different ways they do it. This is bad news. But family, you can beat it by yourselves or working together. That's better. But those that you're working together should be in approved unto God, both of you. Three of you. Four of you. That's where the body of Christ comes in. The real church. Of the unsaved people, it can be divided into two groups, as I talked about before. I think it was last Thursday. Those who've heard the gospel rejected it. And those who've never heard the gospel. Two ways. Two different types, I mean. So we're going to talk about the second group tonight. Those who've never heard the gospel. Because those who've heard the gospel and rejected it, they're responsible for it. They have no truth. The ones that never heard the gospel have no true knowledge of God. But what's their spiritual condition? What is it? And what's God told us to do about it in our own worlds? Now, the condition of those who've not heard the gospel, well, they're in a spiritual darkness and under the power of Satan. How do you know this? How can we be sure of this? Well, for one, they commit terrible sins. Family, they're changing DNA by food, electromagnetic energy. Family, you got sports bars that you eat, candy, chocolate, organic sport. They've got 40% copper and 20% chromium. I've seen it with my own eyes. The copper in these bars, the copper in other foods, the copper that accumulates in your body allows for possession because the copper causes the body to be charged. Copper under the house turns green. The copper, the fracking, this allows demons to come through. It's like quantum physics. They can travel on wire. They can travel copper wire. They can travel an optic cable. They're energy. But they're real. They can transfer many different ways. Drugs, alcohol, lust, hate. These are like energy forces. You see, family, when you mix, I won't tell you the other part of it, when you mix carbon, potassium, and one other somewhat of a salt, we'll call it. I won't instead of the other part. Together, you got gunpowder. It's explosive, potassium and carbon, and a spark. You got an explosion. What am I talking about? Well, fallen angels and the hybrids don't need potassium. But you need potassium because the potassium and carbon-based body that you have, that's how you think. Explosion, the little connections of neurons and all that. It's DNA. You low in potassium, it makes you think slow because it's physics, it's biology. But back to Bible study, they've known to manipulate the body. Well, to slow down your study of the gospel, to thwart your walk with God through quantum physics and biology in all sorts of ways. It's all connected. Prayer helps protect you. Those who have not heard the gospel, you'll find they will seek some kind of salvation in whatever way they're taught. Like Cain, he wasn't taught, but he thought his own way. Abel knew. Cain both knew, but Cain went his own way. But they worship idols of wood, stone, and live in fear of evil spirits. They're afraid to die. You get your bucket list. That's more important thing to a lot of people is a bucket list, they call it. Everything you're going to do before you die. In some countries, mothers even throw their babies to crocodiles. They sacrifice babies. That's what abortion is all about, is to legalize sacrifice of children. People don't tell people this. Doctors don't tell people the truth about this. That's what abortion is all about. That's the only thing it's about. It's legalizing Baal sun worship of sacrificing babies. The babies, the sacrifice of babies, is giving up a life force to empower the supernatural. As fires do in forests and all that. Others cut themselves. Young girls that cut themselves or open up portals to their bodies, defaming the body. Some people walk on beds of spikes and land on spikes and all this stuff. Why do they do this? Because they've been told that by doing these things, their sins will be forgiven. How about the ones that flagellate themselves to cut their skins walking down the street in this ritual ceremony over in Europe, Middle East, I believe. Now it's being done in the United States. The Catholics are told that they have to suffer. Fasting is dedication for a short period of time, but you're going to use praying for it. But you're not puncturing your skin. You're not beating yourself. In other countries, people are highly civilized, yet they don't know God. They may not worship idols of wood and stone, but nevertheless, they are in spiritual darkness and under the power of Satan. Some of them don't even know this. They go to church but don't realize they're being fooled. The Bible describes them as being without Christ and having no hope and without God in the world. But you know, those in Christian lands who've rejected the gospel, they're no better off than those who've never heard the gospel. Indeed, they'll be judged more severely by God because they rejected the gospel. So did God create people with no knowledge of himself? No, he didn't. We're an image of God. As I said, I talked about last week, he didn't. Man was created in the image of God, but man turned away from God. Nebuchadnezzar, gosh, I'm so massacred that word. I got to have that word in front of me to say it. Yeah, I really do. It's a southern thing going on for me, mountain pronunciation. But Nebuchadnezzar, when he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, he He said, oh, there's four in there, one like the Son of God. How did he know that? Because God let him know that. It was before Jesus Christ was even born. You read about man's downward steps away from God. When they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. When you get born again, you come out of the group going upward. And each level, you go up, you get baptized, you go up, you fast, you go up, you are obedient, you go up closer to the mind of God. But when you step away, you go down in the pyramid pointing down. And each thing you do, you don't glorify God, you go lower. You take a blood oath, you go lower. You're unthankful, you go lower. And you get further and further away from God. I've explained this diagram before and it works. People become foolish in their imaginations and their hearts are darkened. They go to these football games and put all these face masks on and acting funny and weird. You start seeing it for what it really is, foolishness. They claim to be wise but become fools. Instead of worshiping the glorious God who created them, they make images of birds and beasts and snakes and worship these idols. And then from here, they go to terrible wickedness and morality. They go another step further. Thus, men go from spiritual light and spiritual darkness. If you go to Romans 1, and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in the image made into like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1:26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into what is against nature. For some folks reacted when I told them about the Brazilian model. I got pictures. And naturally, this report goes worldwide as a report. Because they want you to see it. They want it to be known worldwide of what this woman did. That's how they do all these articles. In this one, she breastfeeds a young calf. I don't think God intended for that to happen. Do you? But they would do it. Then they take the article and the pictures, and they send it to all the news agencies worldwide. So it's known worldwide. You see how they do this? That's why they have all the media connected. Now, if people only knew. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense in their era which was meet. Have you not seen in every military? Worldwide, everywhere is now gay marriages together, right in the open. Marine getting down on one knee, a male Marine on the White House lawn, proposing to another male Marine. They take a picture, put it in the news, and make sure everybody knows. That's what they're doing. Well, that's a long time ago, actually. And now everywhere. In South Korea now, you've got it everywhere. in your face, God, is what they're doing. And the more they do that, the closer we are to the great falling away. All this is planned, orchestrated. It's not isolated cases. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God just gives them up. He knows the end from the beginning. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. That's why I don't debate. It's ridiculous to debate the Word of God. Deceit, malignity, whisperers. You don't debate the Word of God. You preach it. You do the Great Commission, but you don't debate it. No human being that's ever lived, nor will ever live in the future, nor lives now, has the dimensional capacity, knowledge of God's supernatural self. Therefore, they can't debate the Word of God, which was inspired by God through 40 men who were obedient and put down on scrolls, transcript, translated into the perfect Word of God. The supernatural built the King James Bible. The supernatural. And mankind does not have the ability, the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. So how do you debate the Word of God? You don't. Romans 1:30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. They make sure that that's carried through by the video games and all sorts of means and techniques. You already see it already. It's all set up. Without understanding, covenant breakers, well, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 1:32 is a real stickler for me. And this comes up quite often. Not only my own misunderstanding of why these preachers that do this, knowing the judgment of God to come down upon them, still go ahead and preach heresy. Baptist churches, Methodist, Presbyterian, you name it. All of them? No. About 95%. When you find that one of those 5%, good luck. They're out there, but I don't know where, but they're out there. I mean, this is significant. Romans 1, 21-32. So man's downward steps away from God, that downward pyramid I've showed you all before, I've talked about, is one, did not glorify God, going down. Did not glorify God, number one. Number two, unthankful to God or man. In witchcraft, the Wicca that do good deeds for you, that you don't know they're Wicca. They don't like you to thank them. They don't want you to do good deeds for them because it takes away their power. How did you know that? When you do a good deed for Wicca or thank them or bless you, well, I pray for you. No, don't do that, do that. Yeah, buddy. They don't like to be thanked. Vain, self-glory, the big eye, number three. Norman Vincent Peale, all these others. I. Tony Robbins. They're all under the same control. You're so vain, you probably think, how about that? Huh? How about that? The songs of the 60s, 70s. Songs, music, TV, everything, just about everything. I also learned the story I'm not going to talk about tonight, but about what Red, White, and Blue is all about. Oh, my goodness. Next week, I'm going to open up some eyeballs on that, on what really Red, White, and Blue stands for. Oh, man. Number four is number one, did not glorify God. Number two, unthankful. Number three, vain. Number four, the hearts are darkened. Darkened heart, closed to God. Video games help that. Drugs help that. Poor education. I heard some folks talking in a bookstore I go to. Couldn't help but overhear. I tried to give some comments, but they didn't want to hear it. But I heard them talking. They were so concerned about how the children of today didn't know certain historical events, didn't know certain names. And it was really into the conversation. I thought, well, I'll just help. They did not want to hear about conspiracy. I'm saying, we're trying to tell you that. Why? No, we just want to complain about it. They just wanted to complain about it. Nobody wants to do anything. They want to learn. Why? To pray against it or to do homeschooling or whatever. No. I want to complain about it. I don't want to do nothing about it. I don't want to know this. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. But the kids today don't. I'm like, oh, geez. Oh, man. It's frustrating. Number five, proud and foolish, self-centered. This follows an eight-step program in every culture that is designed by the Illuminati. Eight steps take 250-year period. They guide people through this exactly. I'm not going to talk about it tonight. But it's a 250-year process. They go through eight steps. And part of it is how they get the culture to be self-centered and selfish by design in the eight-step, eight-phase progressive program. And we've been under it. But I'm going to leave that alone tonight. Number six is worshiping idols, images, things, property, golf, sports, TV, cigarette smoking. Things that's going to pull you away and it's got you tied up in ritual that takes the place of God. Well, we give God our one day a week. We give Satan 7 days a week. We give God 1 hour. Oh, you go to church on Wednesday. Oh, okay, so you give God 2 hours. Okay. But everything, I mean everything, politics, religion, education, philosophy, science, the arts, economics, finance, everything through the world system I've explained before in detail is in fact based on this Luciferian agenda. Worshiping idols, even the cross. Jesus is not on that cross. That's nothing but a wood or metal cross. That's actually a box. When you fold it up, this is a clever way they've got a box. That little cube is Saturnalia worship. You take that cube that the Jews, Judaic Jews have on the forehead, a cube, in the temple room of certain music producers, they do a ritual on every new cut of CDs, video games, albums, whatever. They do ritual over the first one before they make copies of them in the temple room. The UN has a temple room. They all have a black cube. A black cube. That cube represents Saturnalia worship. Worship of Satan, who has his seat on Saturn. Yes. Portals between Saturn and Earth. Portals allows the energy ball called Satan. An orb? Yes, right. To come through that portal on this earth through channels, high level. Or he can manifest by disasters created on earth. And death helps to invoke those spirits here on earth. and either channel by avatars or by actual physical possession, or they manifest themselves in a copper-based DNA flesh body. They only stay so long, and they got to leave. How detailed is it? They have seats in the UN specifically designed for this. Do you understand what I'm saying? How deep this goes? And number seven, all unrighteousness. So man's downward steps away from God is did not glorify God, one. Two, unthankful to God or man. Three, vain, the big I. Four, hearts are darkened or closed to God. Proud and foolish, self-centered. Five, six, worshiping idols, images, things, property. Patriotism is an idol. I've got quotes, evidence on this. I'm sorry, but it is. Our stars and stripes, the stars, when the flag is hanging down with no wind blowing, is satanic Baphomet. The Islamic flags, the half moon and the star, that's moon worship. That's Lucifer, the single star. The Union Jack, the whole thing. Crosses are cubes that's disassembled. So the cross, when you start putting in certain equal point, equal measure, and you fold it up in a three-dimensional cube, that represents Satan. God, Jesus is not on that cross anymore. He's inside you. He's not on a cross. That's why it's blasphemy with the Pope, with that staff he carries with the cross and then Jesus on it. Jesus ain't on that cross. He's gone. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And the Spirit's inside you. Jesus inside you. And the glorified body of Jesus is up there in heaven. And God is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, all one. But they all have different missions. So it's all three or one. That's a supernatural truth that mankind cannot understand, because we do not have the dimensional capacity to understand this. That's God's business. I just know he's all three. And yet they're separate. At the same time, all three. I'm okay with that, because my mind cannot fathom that. It's not supposed to. It can't. And even Satan and the fallen angels couldn't fathom that either. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so stupid as to, on a supernatural level, to rebel against the Creator. I mean, that's, you know, it's like saying, well, I'm going to put my football equipment on, and there comes a choo-choo train, and I think, by George, that my thoughts create my reality. I'm going to go head on with that train, and I can beat him. Yeah, you go on ahead and see what happens. You see, so I would think, well, I can't beat that train. Now you're talking. Well, so if Satan knew what was going to happen, he wouldn't have taken God on. But Satan don't know. His pride overrode his common sense. I guess they have common sense, whatever angel sense is. He didn't have it, whatever it was. Because he tried to put on his football equipment and run right in front of a train, choo-choo train. It didn't work. He got his butt knocked down there into second heaven. He's going to hell, too. That's what hell was created for. Fallen angels and Satan. And those who follow Satan, guess what? That's what you're going to do, is follow Satan. Right down there you go. And they choose. Other man's downward steps, witchcraft, which is in our government. It's in your CIA. It's in the European government. It's in the security agency, MI5, MI6, Mossad. Witchcraft is all through it. Witchcraft in Hollywood. That's exactly all of Hollywood. And the music, every cotton picking bit of it. The music, Beethoven, Mozart. I'm sorry, but the frequency is to put you under a spell. Because when you're convicted of sin, you feel bad. I'm going to turn on some music. Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The frequency puts you in hypnosis so that you will not be convicted of your sin when God's trying to talk to you. It shuts it off. There you go. Sorry, but that's what happens. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but that's what happens. It's frequency. It nullifies. Beethoven and Mozart confirmed were avatars of the fallen angels. Oops, Leonardo da Vinci was also an avatar. You see, this is Satan's world, as allowed by God because sin was brought into this world through Adam and Eve and carried through. So, witchcraft. You know what pharmakia means? Pharmacy? Pharmakia? In Greek is sorcery? Can you imagine Martha when Martha's got a headache and she says, Elmer, and Elmer says, what, honey? Can you get me some aspirin there at the sorcery shop? The what? Martha says, a sorcery shop. He said, Martha, what are you talking about? I said, well, I read that sorcery is pharmacy. So I just wanted to show you. I know I'm intelligent. Oh, pharmakia, that's silly, isn't it? But pharmakia is sorcery in Greece. Sorcery is pharmacy. Drugs. Yeah, buddy. And now they put microchips in the drugs. I got the evidence. FDA approved it 4 months ago, 5 months ago. So that means they've been doing it for 20 years. Witchcraft, sorcery, Satanism, wickedness, immorality, hatred of God. And when they cause these storms through harp, that's confirmed. Earthquakes, drought, tornadoes, they can stir a tornado at a 90-degree angle. They can cause hail using harp, manipulation of the atmosphere. That's a fact. So when it happens, they'll do something against God, and then this storm will happen. It's been generated, or a tornado, or a hailstorm that's so bad, destructive, and these ones like Pat Robinson, who's a 33rd-degree Mason, and the others will blame God. They'll say, God brought damnation upon whatever it is, and then you start hating God. And that is the purpose of it. That's clever. That's evil. But that's what they're doing. When Satan's doing it, blaming God. You want God's wrath? It's going to be way beyond some F5 tornado. F5 tornado, that's not God's wrath. God's wrath, people have no idea about God's wrath. Sodom and Gomorrah, they learned God's wrath. The whole world in the flood, they learned God's wrath. That's God's wrath. God don't just do little petty things. He holds back. He is holding back his wrath. He's holding back. God is there to help and to love and to care. The punishment's coming. Oh, yeah. And those that's going to be punished, they're not going to die. There's no death. There's binding. Different dimensions are placed. People are placed in different dimensions. In the hell. I'm going to stop there before I go involved in that's quantum physics. Family, this is deep. Hatred of God, fornication, and murder. Now, you ask yourself, are those who've never heard the gospel, are they lost? Yes, they're lost. Every person without Christ is lost. They can be the best in the world. They can help people, give stuff. Kind. I have trouble with this myself, but that's my problem. But, you know, what if a little old lady from Pasadena just doesn't believe in God, but she's a sweetheart? Well, I'm thinking that, well, if, you know, given that this is true, is she going to end up into hell? But not a burning lake of fire. But I do believe that somehow God would set up divine appointments to give her the opportunity to accept or reject God. Maybe two or three, four, I don't know, divine appointments that somehow a relative, a friend, a family, or an instance, something will lead her to accept Jesus Christ. He'll touch her heart somehow or another that she would finally say, and that's where you run into them in supermarkets, you see. Or you run into them in an instant, or you'll help her or something, and God will, oh my goodness, woo, I feel it coming. And God will give you an opportunity to witness to this woman, this guy that doesn't know him, they're good people, that's heading to hell. But he's given you the opportunity to witness to them. Well, they don't do it, but that's number one. And then there's another one, number two, number three, until finally say, well, you know, I've heard this three times. Maybe there's something to it. I was in this bookstore 3 weeks ago. I go there on Sundays sometimes, and I'll have a kind of a ritual, I guess. I read a newspaper, drink a cup of coffee, take my little notebook, and kind of chill out on Sunday afternoon. Here's what happened. I went there, I was by myself, and there's another guy is sitting in the corner where I normally sit. But anyway, and I just sit with my back, and there's a stanchion, a pillar between us. And after I finished reading some of my newspaper and making notes and drinking my coffee and watching people and all these tourists look at Andy Griffin and all this and all that, and watching Andy Griffin's car go back and forth as people paying money to ride in Andy Griffin's police car. And I'm watching all this going on. So I said something to the guy behind me. He's like maybe 25, 29 years old. We exchanged a few, I forgot what the words were, whatever. And another exchange of words, and I went back to my reading and writing. And then after about three exchanges, it's time for I finish my coffee, and this over a period of about 30 minutes, I get up, and I said, well, I'm leaving now. I'm taking off and say bye to everybody, and I couldn't help it. And I started witnessing to a certain extent in my way that talked about God, and he said, oh, yeah, I think about it. I said, and it hit me in my heart. I had to say it. I said, well, I don't know where it's coming from, and forgive me if I'm wrong here, but what I'm telling you right now is what your grandmother's been telling you. Boy, his head snapped up at me. And I said, your mother, too? He says, yeah. How'd you know? I said, I don't know. But what your grandmother's been telling you is true, and they're praying for you. And he got that look in his eye, you know what I mean? The point is, that's what we call a divine appointment. He'll get hit again with it. You see? That's how it works. That's how God works. I've had this happen to me several times. Our children are being taken away by the video games, desensitized. The U.S. military, your 21, 25, 30-year-olds and below, are completely consumed with virtually no education, with college degrees, but no education, no real education. Desensitized through the video game period by design. Possessed. They don't know it. Demons lay in wait until the time coming. The vaccines have a lot to do with it. But I'm going to show you one here that if you could get this into the young, into the youth, can you imagine? Are you ready for this? And here we go.
In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the breath of life. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. And in Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. And in Song of Solomon, he is our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. And in Daniel, he's the fourth man in life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's our strength and shield. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist crying, "Revive thy works in the midst of the years." In Zephaniah, he is our savior. In Haggai, he is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. And in Malachi, he is the stone of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he is the Son of Man, feeling what you feel. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world. In Romans, he's the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he's the rock, the father of Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he's the triumphal one, giving victory. In Galatians, he is your liberty. He set you free. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 1 Timothy, he's your faith. In 2 Timothy, he's your stability. In Titus, he is truth. In Philemon, he's your benefactor. In Hebrews, he's the he's your perfection. In James, he's the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, he's your example. In 2 Peter, he's your purity. In 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he's your pattern. In 3 John, he's your motivation. In Jude, he's the foundation of your faith. And in Revelation, he is your coming King. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced in his pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him, and the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. He is alive. Love, longevity, and more. He is goodness, deep, powerful, and pure. His ways are right, and His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and His mind is on me. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and He rules my life.
And what if you could build that into ourselves, into others, and those you witness to have that testimony, that power, that courage? Can you imagine the Great Commission, how far it would go? To have that kind of testimony. It's not taught in these Jesus camps. It's not taught in churches. It comes from the heart of individuals that follow Jesus Christ. Why are those who have not heard the gospel lost? Why? Two reasons. They're sinners. They don't know, number two, Christ is Savior. In the days of ancient Rome, after the Pharaohs migrated the hybrids of fallen angels and daughters of men, called Egyptian Pharaohs, after they migrated with another mission into Europe, there's your lost tribes in Europe, the leaders, and the tribe of Dan, and so forth and so on. The Caesars took over and started killing Christians. The Romans would go to the Colosseums to observe, listen carefully, to the blood games. As a Sunday afternoon, or whatever, Saturday, whenever they had it. As a sport to watch Christians being killed in all kinds of different ways. Romans, not Jews, Romans, German, Italian. It's not a Jewish conspiracy, but I'm not going to go there tonight. So they go for their families to watch the slaughters in the Colosseum through the Caesars. Except it didn't turn out the way Satan planned. Instead of exterminating the Christians, Jews that are Christians, that followed Jesus. It wasn't Christianity until about the 4th century, but then Christianity came about, but that was through the Vatican. And that was after the slaughter Christianity was created. Aha! 325 A.D., you see there. So the slaughter was before the 4th century. How about that? Here's the problem for Satan. Because the slaughter over centuries, it was always a normal that you go to these Colosseums to watch a Christian be slaughtered. Well, here's what happened. After a period of time, the routine said, wow, these Christians, they're dying, but they still praise and sing glory to their Father, their God. And still they die. And they're still singing glory. I want some of that. We want to know what that's about. Well, I started working backwards. Oh. To the point that there's one Roman soldier that was a leader, but he was the one that fed the Christians to the lions and other things. He got tired of watching it. He said, I've never seen nothing like it. You know what he did? He took his armor off and joined them and died with Christians. With Christians that were singing praises to their Father, to their glory, to their God in heaven. as they died, but they knew they were going somewhere else. You see? How about that? So Satan said, oh, now blood games. Hey, family, break here. Blood games. Back in Caesar, you've got mixed martial arts. You've got boxing. You've got TV. But the real blood games is covered in what they call the Iron Mountain Report. The blood games you will find listed as blood games, Iron Mountain Report, 1966, it's there. That's your professional wrestling, mixed martial arts, professional football. Now, this is a fact. Nothing new under the sun. TV keeps people pulled into it. Mixed martial arts, racing, everything to pull you in and away from God. Wow. Nothing new under the sun. Isn't that something? We've all fallen for it. Blood games. Oh, by the way, when Satan realized it wasn't working, that it was actually working opposite, isn't God amazing? That people in the stands were converting to Christianity, to being Christians. Christianity wasn't formed yet, but they were becoming followers of Jesus. Romans in the stands were converting, and Satan said, oh, this is not working. So he brought in a worshiper of Baal by the name of Constantine, who defeated Maximus with a lesser army in 313 AD, took over Rome. Satan brought his man in. He declared himself to be Christian. And he baptized all his troops. He says, I'm Christian, and you can have religious freedom. How about that? And then in 325 AD, he called it a religion and named it Christianity. And you had the formation of the Vatican to hide the ancient mystery religions. And then about three centuries later, the Vatican created the religion of Islam to target the descendants of Ismail to create the first Muslims. To give them something because they were not taking into Catholicism. So he created a religion for them to control them. Just like they created Protestantism to control those that weren't following Roman Catholicism in the 16th century. The Vatican created with a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther, who is an avatar of the fallen angels, Protestantism. So they can control. How about that? Isn't that something? How Satan works. But God will turn it back on him again. That's what really happened. People are lost for two reasons. They're sinners and don't know Christ as Savior. Two reasons there. And these people do not have God's Word. They know that they do wrong things. And how they know? Well, because God's put in their laws, His laws, in their hearts and consciousness. And by technology, medical, physical, blood games, you name it. I have before, I won't tonight. He thwarts that conscious, that connection with the hearts that God's put there. Now you see what I mean. Music, art, drugs, alcohol, all sorts of things. They know that lying, stealing, murder, adultery, killings, and other things they do are wrong. Yet they do these things, therefore they're sinners, and they'll be judged for their sins. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18:4, You know what I'm going to say next, don't you? It's clear as a bell. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, can the religion save them? Can Christianity save them? No. I read an article in a Christian-type little newspaper thing that comes out here in Mount Airy. And it says that there's 365 prophecies of the coming Messiah in the Old Testament. True. And the probability of one man fulfilling all those is astronomical. So we'll just take seven of them, he said. And so they took seven prophecies, or just seven, out of 300. Seven. And they did a mathematical probability of the chances that one man would fulfill just seven. It was like 4 trillion or so, I don't know, whatever, to one. But here's the catch to it. The title of the article, Statistics Prove That Christianity is a True Religion. I'm like, what? No, it don't. That boy, that ticked me off bad. I said, no, this probability don't prove Christianity. This probability that you figured up, sucker, is that it proves that Jesus Christ is a Messiah. Not that Christianity is a true religion. Boy, that burned my chops. No, he took Jesus right out of it. And they printed that stupid article. Man, my toes were curling for a week. Boy, that really made me mad. And it proves that Jesus Christ is Messiah. Not that Christianity is a religion, is the right one. Because it's not. Jesus Christ is not about Christianity. Because Christianity's got what? Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. It's got, goodness gracious, Baptists of different doctrines and different church. You got Moravian, you got Presbyterian, you got all kinds of Christianity. Well, which Christianity are you talking about here? You see? It's not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ we're talking about today, tonight. Can religion save you? No. Many people believe that if these people are sincere in their religions, God will somehow save them. And it's true? No, it's not. The Bible makes it clear that a person cannot be saved unless he personally receives the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Christ is the Savior, the only Savior. And the Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's in red if you have a red-lettered Bible. Salvation is in Christ and Him alone. His name. Acts 4:12. It slam dunk, man. 4:12, Billy Graham. I don't know what they're reading, what happened along the way. But Acts 4:12 says specifically, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if they want to twist that, then go ahead. If they won't. I'm moving away from them. I don't care who it is. Those who worship idols may be sincere in their religions, but their worship is not acceptable to God. Cain found that one out, didn't he? Lucifer found that out too. Lucifer worshiped himself. Cain used the wrong, was disobedient to God. His own works he tried to sacrifice or whatever, altar. Didn't work. Bible says, when people sacrifice to idols, they're actually worshiping Satan, his evil spirits. You can see that from why God hates all the false religions. That's why I'll not accept those who worship idols. Can they be saved? Yes, they can. The gospel is for all men. The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So I've got four important questions here. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the Bible asks these questions about those who've not heard the gospel. The first question, and you get Romans 10, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how they shall believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how they shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except that they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. But Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then you get Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They've circumvented that with these theology schools of theology. From Harvard, they teach nothing but garbage. Using the Apocrypha, using the NIV Bible, using all the other Bibles except the King James. By bringing in Baptist Association, by bringing in the Council of Foreign Relations, by bringing in all these schools of theology that's based on humanism, Marxism. And by facts I can give you, I'm not going to give you tonight, but I have given facts before that confirm irrefutably that every major college and university in the United States, I said every one of them, I did not make a mistake, have a resident Marxist and humanist scholar that oversees your curriculum. In every major college and university, from George Washington University to Yale to Stanford to Harvard, Rochester, every doggone one of them are controlled through the Council of Foreign Relations and Tavistock over in England. I could be exact and tell you when they formed, how they do it, and the whole shoot caboodle. Charlotte Iserby is a testimony, that one about Reagan, what he did to education in America. This is all controlled through Luciferian secret societies. Can people call on the Lord Jesus if they don't believe in him? No, they can't. Can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? No, they cannot. Can they hear of him unless someone tells them? No, they cannot. Except I will tell you, God's sending dreams and visions to Muslims, and some of them are converting. Problem is, those heretics like Rick Warren and all the others have this thing called Chrislam. Jack Van Impe did pull away. He's got his own problems, but he did pull away from TBN because he didn't go along with Chrislam. That's Christianity and Islam combined. That's your Rick Warren. He's a Council of Foreign Relations member. He's Illuminati. That is an absolute fact by his own mouth, his own confession. You see how Satan works? Let me tell you, when he says wolves in sheep's clothing, they're not kidding in the Bible, let me tell you. That's exactly what it means. So they're catching people coming out with dreams and visions. So someone must go and tell them about the Lord if they're to be saved. That's where divine appointments come in. Who can tell them about Jesus? Those have been saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let's get it going here. And all the things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what I didn't read there, it's not there. I didn't read it because it didn't say so, is Yahshua. I didn't read Yahweh. I didn't read Joshua or whatever YAH derivative they come up with. It's not there. It isn't there. It's not supposed to be there. That's a lie straight from the bowels of hell. No Yahweh. If it is, show it to me. You won't find it there. You say, well, you got to use his secret name. Really? You got to go back to why? Who said so? Who says so? Man says so? Find it. Show me. You won't be able to. You'll have people claiming, oh, I love Jesus, I love God, I love this, I love that. And Yahweh is coming, duh, bloop, bzz, bzz, bzz. There you go. I say, oh, flag went up. Sneaky boy there. Sneaky girl. Yahweh, no way, is a Yahweh. Yahweh, in fact, is Satan in the Tetragrammaton spelled backwards. That's your Judaic tribe of Dan inference that they're doing it. That's what they're trying to do. That's the tribe of Dan taking you back. His name's Jesus Christ. There is no other name. And in fact, the fallen angel named Sananda Manuel is claiming to be Yeshua. Slam dunk, bingo, there you go. That's a fact. And that's what I've been telling people for 5 years in disclosure. Everybody keeps wanting to say Yahweh. I had a member of the tribe of Dan that would claim to be a Christian, didn't like the King James Bible, still claimed to be a Christian. When I first met him or her, I said, Jesus Christ and King James, oh, we got to fix that. I said, fix what? Well, his name's really Yeshua. I said, what'd you do, sneeze? Yeshua, I don't think so. His name's Jesus. No, no, his name's really Yeshua. I said, well, no, you're wrong. I had a rabbi, not a ribbi, but a rabbi. His name ain't rabbi, should be preacher. Should not be priest, should be preacher. Should not be master, should be preacher, like the Bible says. I'll never call a rabbi a rabbi. I may come close to saying it when I say ribbi. I don't respect it. I will never do it. It ain't going to happen. I'll say him by his first name first. It won't be no rabbi. It won't be no master. It won't be no father. It will be nothing but preacher. That's it. No bishop, no apostle, no disciple, John, Joe, this, that, and the other. Ain't going to happen. Because the Bible says so. And there ain't no disciples today. There's no apostles today. They're nothing but men. There are sinners. I'm a sinner. And I ask for God my forgiveness of my sins every day. And that's what you got to do. Because I'm convicted. If I'm convicted, I got to confess them. God says it's wrong. You quit lusting there. That's wrong. Don't you even think about wanting that car. That's wrong. Well, you do what you can with what you got, and you ain't going to get no more. But if you need it more, I'll give you a little bit more. But that's all you're going to get, to make do what you got. I give you more, you give more. You got it? Yes, sir. You see? Second Corinthians 5:18. It says Jesus Christ. You see? The doggone it. The Great Commission is ours, Lord command to the disciples, and it didn't stop there, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Mark 16:15. In 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Calvinists, you better read that. Well, as if they're not listening. I know they're not listening. Maybe one of them will hear this and somebody sends it out. Has the Great Commission been fulfilled? No, it hasn't. Millions of people are still in spiritual darkness. They're under the power of Satan. And most of the people in the world have never seen a Bible nor heard the name of Jesus. It's closing down on it, but people are trying to keep them from it. Satan is too. And they're without Christ or without hope. The words of a pagan woman would stir the hearts. She said, tell your people how fast we're dying. Ask them if they cannot send the gospel a little faster. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And what it doesn't say there is some festival, some Nibiru, some planet, some, I don't know, blood moon, red moon. kick at the brutal moon, whatever, I don't care what. Irma Fudd comes down the lane. I don't care, man. It don't say nothing but the falling away first and the revealing of the son of perdition. Now, they can go through all this. Well, it's not going to come until we have the full moon, the feast of trumpet, this, that, and the other. I don't know what. They spend a whole hour trying to tell you when it's going to happen. And I'm like, man, y'all better get with it. Because he ain't going to let nobody know when it's not going to be when somebody can predict it. As a missionary in Egypt was telling a story of a love of Jesus, at the close of his message, a woman said, "It is a wonderful story. Do the people in your country believe it?" And the missionary said, "Yes." And the woman thought a moment and said, "I don't think they can believe it, or they would not have been so long in coming to tell us." Unquote. The whole world must hear the gospel. And the Lord Jesus commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. You got to obey him. If we do not, what can we do to take the gospel to the lost? God's going to hold us responsible. Ezekiel 3:18. It don't play around. Ezekiel 3:18. It says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and that giveth him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand." Ooh. There you go, watchman. You can't close your eyes to the conditions of the lost to escape our responsibility. Every Christian must one day stand before judgment seat of Christ to give an account of their life after they're saved. If you fail to do what we can to send the gospel to every person, you'll have to answer to the Lord for our neglect. You cannot say we did not know about the needs. The Lord Jesus said in John 4:35. In John 4, in verse 35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are white already, ready to harvest." So what can you do? If those who have not heard the gospel are to have a chance to be saved, every believer must do all he can under God's direction to get the gospel to them. God has a work for every Christian in fulfilling the Great Commission. You ask, what can you do? Well, there's 5 things I'm going to give you. It's going to take me a little while, not long. I'm going to tell you what the 5 things are. 1, you got to witness. God's plan for evangelizing the world is for everyone who knows the story of Jesus to tell it to someone else. Not only with his lips, but also his life. The Lord Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Begin now. Being a witness for the Lord Jesus right where you are. 2 is to pray. You can pray that God will send forth missionaries, divine appointments, whatever that you can in your prayer to the unsaved, and that we can pray daily for the missionaries God has already sent forth. He said in Luke 10:2, "Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest." After you pray, 3, give. When you give money to the Lord's work, you're sharing in that work. We'll share in the rewards one day. But don't do it for the rewards you're going to share. Do it because you want to, like that young boy. He wasn't there for his own self. He's wanted to tell people, and he did. You can see it in the heart, hear it in the heart. You give wisely, seeing that your money goes to those who are faithfully preaching the gospel. Give joyfully, knowing that our money is being used that others may have eternal life. 4 is prepare. If you want to be useful servants of the Lord, you got to prepare yourselves. Do it by setting aside each day for Bible study, prayer, memorizing scripture verses. Get your tools ready. God's going to use you. He's going to use you now. And number five is go. Get around to it. We'll get you around to it and get to it. We don't need to ask the Lord if he wants us to serve him. God calls all his children to serve him. Only question you and I have is, Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you do? You've learned something of the condition of those who do not know God. You've learned of your responsibility as a Christian, not to get the gospel to them. It's not about Christianity. It's about being a Christian. And that's not Christianity. But a follower of Jesus Christ is a different story. The question is, what will you do? Will you be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus where you are? He's going to use you where you are. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to climb the Mount Everest. It's where you are. He knows where you are. You're not going to hide from him. You're not going to say, well, Lord, I got to go here. I got to go into the Jordan River to be baptized. No, where you are is where he's going to use you. He'll probably start with you and your families. I don't know. It's up to you, between you and God. Are you going to pray that God will send forth laborers into the harvest field? Will you pray for that, or will you give that others may hear? Will you prepare yourself to serve the Lord more effectively? Will you go where God calls you to go? Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Born in Africa, graped in darkness, waited for you to tell me of Jesus, died in despair and lost forever. South America, followed pages, superstitions, died without peace, lost forever. Born in China, waited weary years for the light that never came, died in darkness, lost forever. Born in India, sought salvation through pilgrimages, idols, self-torture, died without hope, lost forever. Born in islands of the sea, worshipped demons, waited long for his low, died in ignorance, lost forever. Born in America, supposed to be Christian, led away and astray because distractions, lost forever. Whoa. I'm going to stop here. Tuesday, Bible study, 7 to 9. Approved unto God will be the next lesson. Family, thank you all for coming. I'm going to close in prayer on this Saturday night. And we'll go our separate ways. Lord, we thank you tonight that we're able to come together and worship you on a Saturday night, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have. And Father, we look for those divine appointments. We look for that teaching and learning that you got for us, Lord, that we're going to open up our hearts to receive that great commission. That, Lord, but when you lead us in that pathway that we learn in doing man's upward steps towards you, and Lord, we know that 100,000 souls a day without Christ is lost for eternity. Lord, we call upon you to give us that divine appointment, and that teaching, that learning, that we can help cut that number down, Lord. But Lord, we need help. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us and put us in that path and give us protection, Lord, that we can help others. And Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray for your guidance and your protection for next week and tomorrow and the rest of our times, Lord, to give us that, like that young boy, that give us that drive, that fire to learn. And we can spread that gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And family, that's where this song comes most appropriately.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won.
Enjoy tomorrow, and I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Spirit moving tonight. Have a great night.